Today on Compassion Radio.
So when you say you've raised needy kids, you're talking about bringing in street kids?
We started with the street kids. We brought and adopted poor kids from the mountains and helpless kids of the families, and we raised, educated them.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. On this program, Bram takes you with him to the farthest corners of the globe, where he spends time with the people who've been called to share the love of Jesus Christ in the mission field. Pastor Harka is a mighty man of God in a compact package. His burning faith in Jesus and his love for the people of Nepal have helped him survive seemingly insurmountable challenges, including a massive earthquake that flattened most of this mountain kingdom. Join Bram today as they reflect on how even in a season of despair, they were able to continue meeting needs and rescuing orphans, just like the church should. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of that conversation.
Friends, we are happy to reintroduce somebody that we've wanted to get back in the studio for a very long time. And the person's name is Pastor Harka. Pastor, welcome back to Compassion Radio.
Thank you, brother.
Now, you had a rich history with Norm and Cher over the years and introduced them to what God was doing on the very roof of the world up there in Nepal. So we're going to explore some of the stories that have been real hallmarks of this ministry over the years and find out what God's doing new in the country of Nepal. So first off, would you tell me a little bit about how you came to the Lord and how he got you focused on training and teaching pastors to reach that nation for Christ?
Thank you so much for having me again here, and I'm so excited to be in radio, Compassion Radio here, meeting with friends. I am a bit sad because Norm is not here. Part of my friendship and relationship with the Norm was from a long time ago, maybe from 2007. He visited me in Nepal, and I miss him so much here today. But I'm happy in what he has imparted to us and his love and concern to the ministries and to the people in Nepal. I want to remember him while I'm talking today.
Please, because there are some stories of the two of you doing work together that should be really well remembered. We need to definitely make those highlights.
I honor him very much and respect him. And while, when I heard the gospel from a Nepali evangelist in 1994, Lord touched my life with the word of truth. It was John 14:6, which was very different word because my context of believing in Nepal was with 33 million God and goddesses in country of Nepal.
It's a very crowded country when it comes to spiritual things.
Yeah, stronghold in the country, you know. I mean, the Buddhist also, the Buddha was born in Nepal, so it's two main religion are in Nepal. So when I heard the gospel, that really struck my heart and mind, because I can tell you my background. My parents, my grandparents were worshipping Guru. Guru, part of the Hindu movement called Guru movement, where they basically follow and believe in Guru. My parents and grandparents believe in Kavir Guru, which the practice is usually in a wash their feet and drink water. You know, it's you remember when I said this, it was such a practice. And when evangelists shared the gospel with me, Jesus was the only the way, truth, and the life.
Now, the washing of your feet or your arms or your body, the different kinds of rituals you would go through in a Hindu or Buddhist kind of worship, explain to us how that's different than our concept of baptism.
The baptism in Christian practice was the inward change of outward focus, or I say, when we are changed inside and we are baptized outside. So that's the practice. But in Hinduism, the water, using of water in different senses means different ways. Like for worshipping Guru and washing feet, drinking from that water was a holy water for them.
So something mystical is supposed to happen with the elements and the earth itself. It gives you some kind of spirituality.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
So with that kind of practice, there's a lot of devotion that goes into that and a lot of understandable rituals. You know what you're supposed to do, and you're trying very hard to keep the gods happy. So you were called out to a new god, one that challenged all the old ones. Now, how, when Jesus came into your heart, did it transform everything for you?
So when the word changed my heart and mind, and I feel this is the right things to go. So I believe Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I accepted Him as my Lord of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I dedicated my life to Him. And since then, I have never regretted.
Amen
never
to that.
Regretted again. Yeah.
But it also has its challenges. You turn your back on not just certain gods, but you turn your back on a culture that worships all these gods. And so in some ways, you're an enemy of the state. So how did your family and your village and the people around you respond to this transformation in you?
So when somebody becomes a believer, you become second-class citizen of the country.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bram Floria. For years now, many of you have partnered with us to help support the rescue of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa, through Door of Hope. Thousands have already been adopted, fostered, or reclaimed by family members, but sadly, many have not been so fortunate. Door of Hope has not abandoned these precious lives, and neither will we. In addition to the two baby rescue houses already in existence, Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is now constructing Hope Village, which will feature a large park playground, a school, a church, a farm, and will eventually be self-sustaining. Kids receive spiritual training and education, along with a marketable skill. Your financial gift will help ensure them a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you to help. Ask Him to show you what your very best financial gift should be. When you give, we'll say thanks by sending you the Psalms in Color coloring book at your request. It's perfect for anyone, especially someone who wants to show their love for God through colorful artistic expression. You can contact us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And there's a brand new way to contact us right now through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's COMPASSION to 53445. You can also give to this month's special project for Door of Hope by texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you so much for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these precious children in South Africa through Door of Hope.
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
So you were called out to a new God, one that challenged all the old ones. Now, how, when Jesus came into your heart, did it transform everything for you?
So when the word changed my heart and mind, and I feel this is the right things to go. So I believe Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I accepted Him as my Lord of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I dedicated my life to Him. And since then, I have never regretted.
Amen
never
to that.
Regretted again. Yeah.
But it also has its challenges. You turn your back on not just certain gods, but you turn your back on a culture that worships all these gods. And so in some ways, you're an enemy of the state. So how did your family and your village and the people around you respond to this transformation in you?
So when somebody becomes a believer, you become second-class citizen of the country.
And literally so.
Next thing is, you are out of a track of your legal system. And you are out of your family's practices.
So they wouldn't
it was difficult for me to make understand to my families when I accepted Christ. I was the elder son, eldest one.
Yeah.
I had to carry out all the rituals and functions of my families. When I became a believer, it was not. I mean, I'm going to different track.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not expected.
I'm trying to imagine for Americans in the West, or anybody in the West for that matter, if following Christ meant you would no longer be a citizen of your country, you no longer had the protections of, the, say, the Bill of Rights, and you were no longer of equal status before the law, if people would be willing to step across that line. It's a different challenge. So in your case,
yes,
you saw that the reward of following Christ far surpassed the trappings or the promises of this world, and you took a huge risk, and you followed him. Now, of course, you are now turning your back on all that ritual you talked about. You were supposed to be the example setter for your family, and now you're setting a completely contrary example. So I can imagine the tension that was there. What's happened in the years since?
My family was not happy. So from 1994, I finished my school, and then there was no church in the mountain. A day far, I have to go for my college. So I went to a day far for my school, I mean college, and then found a church, accepted Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I've attended church. Then after, I involved in the church ministries there on and on. So my family knew I became a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm going to the church. Then after, tension became, you know, I have to take care by myself, trust in the Lord, you know, followed him. You know, that's what my life began in Christ.
So as you follow him since 94, it's been a pretty active 20 years or so. You have not just stopped at becoming a devoted follower of Christ. You've become a pastor and an evangelist, and you've been training pastors. So in the years since, and maybe still up until the time that you met Norm, how many people had you reached personally and had become followers and then other leaders in the body of Christ there in Nepal?
Let me also give some of my walk in life after that. In 96, I came. 94, I went to the church, involved in the church. And 96, I feel Lord is calling me to learn more about his word and serve him. And I came in 96 and to study Bible college for bachelor's in theology in Kathmandu, in capital. Mm-hmm. It is a 8 to 10 hours journey far from where I was going to the church. And then my hometown is far, one day far from toward the mountain.
Yeah.
So I'm in Hemet Rea. That reminds me some my, you know, hilly mountain village area. Okay. So Lord brought me here nearby. So Compassion Radio in Hemet. So I'm happy enjoying the mountain. But and then, so 3 years I took a training, studied bachelor in theology in Kathmandu, served 1 year in a school's that was running by a church there. And 2000, I went to South India for my master's in divinity course.
Oh, very good.
It was all by faith. When I came to for the master's in theology in Kathmandu, there was nobody to support me or help me. And the pastor gave me maybe 10 cents and for my pocket money. And I came in Kathmandu by
faith. And how far would that 10 cents carry you?
So my 10 cents, actually, when I say now, I have given multiple blessing more return to pastor who gave me a 10 cents, actually.
Very good.
I have given him, that blessing has never ended again. Still, I'm carrying more and more. Along with this, again, went for Master Divinity, that also by faith, part of my curiosity and my heart longings was to learn more and serve. So 3 years I studied in South India and came back, got married, and then started a church in 2004.
And was that church in your hometown?
Yes. It's not in hometown, it's in Kathmandu.
Okay. So you started a church in Kathmandu then?
Yes, south part of Kathmandu called Lalitpur. Started a church with a prayer with my wife and myself. And then my daughter, she was very small.
So you, your wife, and your daughter, and a little bit of faith started the church. It was called God's Kingdom there, and you were it.
Yes, yes. And since then, I've been serving same church. You know, it's very different. Church means when you say in our part, it's different. You plant, you win souls, and then you become a pastor.
Yep.
It's not a professional pastor or salary somebody you invite and be a pastor or applied. They're very different. You win the souls, and then you become a pastor. So last 13 years, I've been pastoring.
Hmm. And so what's happened with that church?
Many souls have come to Christ. We have raised many kids, needy kids, in our home.
So when you say you've raised needy kids, you're talking about bringing in street kids?
We started with the street kids. We brought and adopted poor kids from the mountains and helpless kids of the families, and we raised, educated them.
Very good. And some of those kids are people that Norm and Cher have talked about over the years.
We usually keep 10 of them usually at our home.
Hmm. So you're raising the children of Nepal to be a new generation of young Josiahs, people to raise up and transform their country from the inside out. And you're building
a
church.
You may not believe they are serving the Lord.
Well, tell me about it. How are they serving God now?
So the kids we raise, the girls married to a pastor.
Hmm. Very
and
good.
The pastor's wife, and we planted a church given to them.
Very
they are
good.
Serving the Lord.
So that was your first offspring church, so to speak.
Yes.
So what's happened since then? You have your family expanding literally, and you're sending them out to start churches. But things have been happening since then. Tell me more about the transition to becoming a pastor of pastors.
Yes. And then I'm continuing my life stories in the Lord. So last 13 years. In 2003, I got married. 2004, I started a church. And then 2006, after 2 years serving in the church, I came to El Monte for my master's in theology program, where Lord opened a door for me for full scholarship. And in 2007, I think I met a Norm.
Yes. And you were together in Los Angeles area when you met, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And he visited. And after 2006 to 2008, I finished school.
Mm-hmm.
I went back again, continued the church. And in between also, I've been going there and then taking care of kids and home and regularly. And 2012 and before, like from 2008, my church is an independent church, a part of Evangelical Alliance in Nepal.
Very good. Is that something that predated you, or did you actually help start that Evangelical Alliance?
No. It was Evangelical Alliance was started in 1960. In 1960, there was only 30 believers in the country.
The entire nation. Wow.
Entire nation.
So you are some of the first fruits then.
Yes. And then, I was involved, but the church I was in... For Baptist church in eastern part of Nepal, that was also part of Evangelical Alliance. But my service with the Evangelical Alliance was my church became a member, and then I was involved in the regional leadership, taking care of pastors, training. And the more and more I desire Lord more, and maybe I don't know, I can't say I'm more eager for the Lord, but Lord has started giving me more and more to serve. And I serve in a regional level with the 500 churches, 500 pastors in central region. Then Lord again gave me another responsibility to take care of whole Evangelical Alliance in 2012.
Wow.
I was a general secretary of Evangelical Alliance. I say Evangelical Alliance, there is a World Evangelical Alliance and Asia Evangelical Alliance, and different continent there is an Evangelical Alliance. So we have a 16 country in Asia, so we meet together.
Very good.
So Nepal is a first chapter. So I led 2012 to 14. So with 2,000 churches, they are part of Evangelical Alliance there.
And that covers a territory about how large?
It's 80% of total Christians population it covers there.
Just in the country of Nepal or the other mountain countries?
It's in Nepal.
Okay. So the National Association, this Evangelical Alliance, has grown to how many churches total now?
2,000 churches.
2,000 churches, which means at least 2,000 pastors, I suppose.
Yes.
How do you wrangle all those people? That's hard work, even if you've got great highways and big budgets. That's a hard job. You're talking about a country that has its own challenges geographically, and in the past few years, some horrible challenges having to do with the earthquakes, which we heard a little bit about the West, but it kind of died off the news fairly quickly. So tell me about some of the big challenges the churches are facing, especially since the massive earthquake which leveled so much of the country.
Okay. I would come there.
Okay.
I would come there with this. And so 2 years ago, so in 12 to 14, I served as general secretary. And then in 14, I moved into Wycliffe Associates.
Okay.
The leading business wing there. So they particularly go in different countries where restricted areas to open up business platform and translate the Bible.
Yes.
So I'm leading that one.
Very good.
And
is this in addition to the other work with the Alliance? Or
yes,
yes. You're putting on
and,
a lot of hats.
Yeah, lots of hats. We like hats, you know.
Yes,
you we like hats.
Nice warm hats,
like hats
up there, don't you?
Yes, yes. And the big earthquake happened.
Mm-hmm.
It was massive earthquake. 12,000 over people died.
Hi, this is Bram Floria. For years now, many of you have partnered with us to help support the rescue of abandoned babies in Johannesburg, South Africa, through Door of Hope. Thousands have already been adopted, fostered, or reclaimed by family members, but sadly, many have not been so fortunate. Door of Hope has not abandoned these precious lives, and neither will we. In addition to the two baby rescue houses already in existence, Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is now constructing Hope Village, which will feature a large park playground, a school, a church, a farm, and will eventually be self-sustaining. Kids receive spiritual training and education, along with a marketable skill. Your financial gift will help ensure them a bright and successful future. So please pray and ask God how He would have you to help. Ask Him to show you what your very best financial gift should be. When you give, we'll say thanks by sending you the Psalms in Color coloring book at your request. It's perfect for anyone, especially someone who wants to show their love for God through colorful, artistic expression. You can contact us right now by calling 1-800-868-2478. Or you can go to CompassionRadio.com on your computer, tablet, or smartphone. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And there's a brand new way to contact us right now through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's COMPASSION to 53445. You can also give to this month's special project for Door of Hope by texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you so much for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these precious children in South Africa through Door of Hope.
We'll hear more of this conversation next time on Compassion Radio. Now, if you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can listen again anytime just by opening up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and going to CompassionRadio.com. Now, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, would you please consider three things? First, please pray for us. Your prayers are vital to the effectiveness of this ministry. Second, would you please tell a friend about Compassion Radio? Sharing this broadcast will help us reach as many people as possible with the encouraging reports Bram brings us from the mission field all over the world. And finally, would you please consider supporting this ministry financially? Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported, so your gifts make it possible for us to continue. Now, today when you support Compassion Radio financially, we'll send you a copy, at your request, of the Psalms in Color coloring book. A beautifully illustrated book that contains more than 60 pages filled with gorgeous drawings for you to color with either crayons or colored pencils. There are also bookmarks and gift tags all centered around the Psalms from the Bible, as well as blank pages for you to draw on and write down what God is saying to you through His Word. And we'll send you a copy today as our way of saying thanks for your financial gift to Compassion Radio. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can visit CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or visit CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word GIVE to 53445. That's the word GIVE to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. We are so thankful for you. Please be sure to join us again next time for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Radio Ministries and your generous financial support.